How's it going, guys? All right, just a couple of things that I've been kind of pondering on. And by the way, thank you for exposing those names, Brother Dan. I'm going to go and kind of refer to your notes there, especially in these these days that we're li living in. There's so much. I mean, deceptions just progressively just keep infesting the land wherever we go. And so again, we needed to be reminded of that subject, brother, so thank you so much. And so anyway, a couple of things that I've been pondering on as we embark these critical days, and also some prayer requests, if you guys don't mind. Personally, the Lord was kind of showing me about supporting and praying for Israel more in these critical days. And so, Brother Dan, I was just wondering if you have some advice, if you can, right off the bat, or maybe email me some information or something this week, or whatever the Lord leads would lead you concerning supporting Israel. That was kind of in my heart for weeks now. And also, I was kind of glad that you shared that little article about Israel in your website. And so I was pretty encouraged to pray for God's people in the light of what you shared there with your comment. Thank you for doing that. And I was pretty edified and encouraged to pray fervently. The other thing I was being encouraged by was about the subject of separation. I'm not talking about, pharisaical separation, but I'm talking about the, being led by the Spirit type of separation, refusing to be conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12, from families, unsaved families and all that. Even those families that are actually saved who are not willing to walk in the narrow path and in the high calling. And also, of course, what you talked about tonight, the religious world and everything else in us that defiles. And so the Lord was reminding me about the level of separation we must endure, or we endure, is to the degree that we grow in holiness and purity. I haven't really looked it up in detail, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when Jesus rose from the dead, his level of glory and holiness, and of course his glorified body, was no longer compatible for him to be in the world physically. So looking at that picture, I just thought that there was a message of holiness and separation principle there that I was being exhorted about, and that pertains to what you have talked about tonight, and as we continue to walk with the Lord in these last days, separation, I think, will continue to be go deeper and deeper as we go for the high calling. Thirdly, I wanted to request prayers from all within a couple of days. I will be moving on from my comfort zone, if you will. Actually, it's been rather a season of purging for me personally, and so I do ask for your prayers, and as the Lord leads you, of course. I really don't know where to go yet. All I know is that about a year ago, I felt that I would only be here for a season, and so all I know for sure is to just get up and leave this place, and separate from people, from Christians, and people I know and family members and stuff like that. And so I will need your prayers. As you all know, that the Lord does not always show us the whole picture of his direction for us in full detail. So I'll just take one step at a time as the Lord unfolds his will. So anyways, I also wanted to thank you all very much for your encouragement, especially your hard work, Brother Dan. To continue to deliver the truth to us, even in the midst of your personal challenges there with your physical thing. just want you to know I'll you know, continue to pray for you, and which I've been. And so I've been very blessed by you all, and I will keep you all in prayer too. So thank you, guys, and back to you, Brother Dan.
Thanks for sharing, Joey Boy. I appreciate it. First of all, we do give support to Israel. I can't tell you what where we send to off the hand. I'll get Mom to get together the couple places we actually send money to. I'll email it to you. I'll certainly pray that the Lord leads you where you're supposed to be going, because I know it takes a little leap of faith to just leave. You don't know where you're going, and the Lord's telling you to leave. That's something most people can't do. Most people won't just leave unless they have a destination. So I'm certainly praying for that. What you said about separation there is very important. I don't know, I don't quite understand what you're saying about Jesus' body when he's resurrection, but I do know that between the time he was resurrected and the time he was glorified, he couldn't be touched. That's the scripture says, because Mary went to touch him when she realized who it was. He came out of the grave and she said, "Touch me not, I have not ascended to my Father." So there was one point where he couldn't have any contact with us between his resurrection and his ascension, but I think that was just a temporary thing. I think as soon as he was ascended, that whole situation changed myself, because he came back and ate fishes with the disciples on the beach, you know. But what you're saying about separation, the principle there is true. The holier God makes you, and I'm not talking about being holy now, Pharisee, but the more he purifies you, and the more of a holy, righteous walk he brings you into that's free from doctrinal error, free from error of other people, free from the influence of other people, you're going to have to be more and more alone. That's all there is to it. There's not that many people who are actually willing to walk all the way to the cross with Jesus. They all stop somewhere. And when they stop, they become involved in something, some kind of idolatry, something not willing to lay down, a relationship, a goal, a doctrine, something, and they're being defiled there. I'm not saying totally defiled, going to go to hell, but when somebody stops because there's a price they can't pay, they start getting defiled there, and if you stay with them, you're going to be partaking in their defilement. I don't care. It doesn't matter whether you want to or not. So as we progress, and as the Lord purifies us, the more pure you are, the more you're going to be separated from the things that are impure. It's just that simple. The more pure God makes you, the more you have to separate and remain separated from the impure thing, whether it's a doctrine, whether it's a sin, a habit, a view, a goal, a person, relationship, whatever. It doesn't matter. So the closer you get to the cross, the closer you get to the pinnacle of what God has for us, the more lonely it's going to be, unless he sticks you together with two or three others who are on the same page, walking the same walk, having the same kind of work done in them. And then you can fellowship with them. And I'd say that's what's going on here. The people in this room are at least trying to go forth in that kind of walk, and they're trying to separate from the things God's shown them, whether it's a sin or a doctrine or whatever. And I think because, you know, y'all are trying, God's allowing me to keep this room open. But it's true. The closer you get to God, the more alone you're going to be. That's just the way it is. Because people won't pay the price. They're defiled. They keep defiling themselves with relationships, with doctrines, with sins, whatever it is. And as he keeps separating us and taking us on, there's going to be a fork in the road, of another fork in the road, a fork in the road. That just keeps going like that until finally you're alone. And you say, "Well, hey, man, I can't be right and all these people wrong. I started out with 55 friends, 55 Christians. Now it's down to 30, down to 40. I got four. Now I'm alone. I'm alone. It must be me. Something must be wrong with me." But it's not. Because all those Christians, at some place, they stop. There's something in their life they won't lay down. They won't give up. And that's where they stop. And you got to keep going on. So I agree with you what you're saying. It's very true. It's very important. It's a very important point. Amen. I think Mom wants to share something too quick here.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say one thing, maybe. That's all I'll say. I was going to say something else. But
say whatever you want.
But I was saying, when Daniel was talking about all these false doctrines on the Internet, I was just today I was thinking of someone wrote a letter to Daniel and said, asked him, had a problem and asked what he thought about it and if he had anything to share with her. And so he shared what he felt. And then she said that whatever he shared, she prayed and fasted and searched the Internet to see if what he was saying was true. It's very dangerous to search the internet for spiritual truth today. It really is, and I was thinking of that before Daniel pointed out all those errors, and I thought, what a stupid thing to do, search the internet for spiritual truth. We have to get along with God for spiritual truth. And that just came to my mind when he was bringing all that arrow out. She prayed and fasted and searched the internet to see if what he told her was true. So, but I had something to say about Israel this week. It's been on my heart, Israel, a lot this week. And when Joey Boy brought it up, I thought, well, maybe I should say something. And the Lord spoke a few scriptures to my heart. And about the one was about the signs of the time. In Matthew 16, he said, when the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And I thought he was rebuking them. He was saying you have natural discernment for the weather, but don't you have any spiritual discernment? This is your visitation from God. Don't you have any spiritual discernment? That was kind of a rebuke, so I know the Lord does want us to be aware of the signs of the time. And when Joey said something about Israel, Israel is one of the very important signs of the time, what's going on right now with Israel. How all the countries are upset over Israel. How the president of this nation is upset because they stopped building apartments in Jerusalem. Can you imagine telling another country to stop building in their own land? But all this, they become very upset. It became a very deep thing between the United States and Israel over the fact that they wouldn't stop building apartments in Jerusalem. That's just one of the many things that he has done to show his contempt for Israel. And I thought of this in Zechariah. It amazes me that God's scripture is just coming to pass. He says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. And all the people of the earth are gathering against this thing. This thing about having a two-state over there, having two states over there. And it sometimes I'm amazed that you can sit and see God's prophecies coming true. And this is what's going to bring forth the last war, we know that. And then he says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. This is a warning from God to all nations right now that are fighting against this thing. All nations, there's a scripture that says that he will take vengeance on all those that part his land. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to part Jerusalem, give part of Jerusalem to the Palestinians as part of their capital. And God said that was going to happen. That's one of the signs of the time, one of the signs that we're in the last days. And, you know, President Obama has really turned his back on Israel. And anyone that can't see what this president is doing to our country has really been come under a strong delusion from God. I believe that with all my heart. He's taking this country down. He's done so many things to this country, so many things to take this country down. And anyone that can't see it, God said that because they love not the truth, because they love not Jesus, who is the truth, he'll turn them over to a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And, you know, I can't see anything else but these Americans that are still upholding Obama and still think he's kind of a Messiah-like image. There's nothing I can see but that God himself has turned them over to a delusion, because you don't even have to be a born-again Christian to know what he's doing to this country. He's a Muslim, and he's trying to turn this country over to the Muslims. And anyone that can't see that, it has to be turned over to a delusion from God. That's all I can say. And, you know, I really admire these talk show hosts and these Tea Party guys. But, you know, I don't think it's going to help. I think God's turned them over. They believe the lies that he's telling. He lies and lies and lies. He's a deceiver. That's what it said. He would come with all deceivableness. He has the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but he definitely walks in the spirit of Antichrist. He's a deceiver. He's doing everything he can against Israel. And then he comes out and says, oh, we're standing with you. We're still standing with you. We're steadfast. We're going to protect you. He's just a liar and a deceiver. I got a paper from a ministry over there in Jerusalem, and I just want to read it. She wrote a paper about all the things he's done, some of the things towards Israel. I'm just going to point out a few facts. Since taking office, President Obama has made no secret of his disdain and rejection of Israel as a legitimate nation in the Middle East. The first clue was his first phone call to a foreign leader as president after his inauguration. Obama's first phone call as President of the United States was not to a foreign leader of an actual country, but to the head of a terrorist organization, the PLO's Mohammed Abbas. Then there was the new president's reach out to Muslims, apologize for America tour he made through the Middle East. Obama made pro-Islamic speeches to Muslims in Egypt and Turkey, but he was not interested in visiting the Jewish state and the only real U.S. ally in the region while he was there. The president further charged U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East for he changed it. He further changed it. For example, pardon me, Syria has been on the U.S. list of nations who sponsor terrorism for years. But President Obama is now allowing U.S. weapons sales to Syria and has promised President Assad a new American ambassador. President Obama kept things fairly low-key in overtly displaying his real opinion of Israel until this year. But things started falling apart when on a scheduled trip in Israel, Vice President Joe Biden viciously attacked Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu for the announcement of construction of 1,600 new apartments in a West Jerusalem neighborhood. And he even misstated that the neighborhood was in East Jerusalem. It was in Ramat Shaloma, and that is in West Jerusalem. Vice President Biden deliberately took a nun story and blew it up into a major international incident, claiming the announcement was made to intentionally embarrass him. Netanyahu tried to patch things over and thought he had on till Hillary Clinton phoned him shortly afterwards and raked him over the coals for almost an hour. President Obama further escalated tensions with Israel by ordering the U.S. military to block a shipment of smart bunker buster bombs headed to Israel. About the time of Netanyahu's second meeting in Washington with President Obama, the president had rejected every request Israel had made to purchase major U.S. military arms in the past year. At the same time, President Obama had sold advanced weapon systems and arms to Egypt, Kuwait, Jordan, Morocco, and Saudi Arabia. Then came the shocking announcement that the United States had refused to renew the visas of all Israeli nuclear scientists with any connections to the Dimona nuclear reactor. In the past, the visas had always been renewed automatically, allowing the scientists to take classes at American universities in physics, chemistry, and nuclear engineering. They're just some of the things that he's done to Israel. And then he comes out and says how he's for Israel. He's just a deceiver. Anyhow, that's what I had to say. But I was encouraged about something this week. We got a magazine from the Jerusalem Post, the Christian edition of the Jerusalem Post, and they had 17 letters in there that people had written to the editor apologizing for President Obama's attitude toward their prime minister when he was in our country. And that was really an encouragement. So I'm just going to read two short ones. It says, "Sir, as an American, all Israelis for the arrogance and lack of even ordinary courtesy of Barack Obama. I believe there are millions of Americans who would agree with me." This is from Georgetown, Texas. Then this one guy says, "As an American citizen, I am outraged at the disrespect and arrogance that Barack Obama displayed to Prime Minister Netanyahu. I did not vote for Obama, but since he was elected president, I feel compelled to apologize for his behavior. That I guess I should expect nothing better from our president, a socialist Muslim. You will soon see the downfall of the U.S. engendered by Obama and his progressive friends. They learned how to destroy America from within and already have begun. God bless Israel. And this is from someone in Patton, Missouri. But that blessed my heart to see that some Americans really feel see what's going on. But the ones that have been turned over to a strong delusion, they're not going to see. They just think everything he's doing is wonderful. They have him up kind of as a Messiah image. And they just think he's great. They cannot see what he's doing. And I'm telling you, anyone in America that cannot see what he's doing to this country has had to be turned over to a delusion from God, and I don't think they'll ever be changed. I just want to say, yes, we should hold up Israel. We should stand for Israel, because God said, I believe strongly that he said, those that bless Israel will be blessed, those that curse Israel will be cursed. I believe there's a curse on this nation for the way Barack Obama is treating the Jewish people. I do believe that. And I believe maybe that's what we're feeling deep down in our spirit, that something's going to happen. It may be that very thing that's going to happen. Well, thanks for listening. Shalom.
Amen. We do bless Israel, we do stand with Israel, and we do support Israel. Go ahead, Joey, you got the mic.
Anyway, just as Sister Annabelle was talking, I was kind of led to read Romans, if you don't mind. Just a few verses. Chapter 1, 21-32, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so, you know, I think, you know, you're very right, brother and sister, or Mama Annabelle there. You know, I think, you know, there is a, I think God's about ready to pour out his wrath or something upon America. And, you know, it's part of my compelling personally to separate more. And I know it's not just me. It's just, you know, I think all of us want to do that, to continually grow in holiness and separation. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is people around you will judge you. I spoke some things and I've been judged as a part. You know, when I say, you know, I'm going to follow, I'm just following the Lord. That's all I'm trying to do. They call me a part of a cult or something, you know. There's times where somebody called me Jesus. What do you think? You Jesus Christ? You know, there's a lot of misjudgment, and so I guess it's just one of those things. But for the most part, you know, being mindful of these things and what we just read and what Sister Annabelle just talked about, and what you've been preaching, Brother Dan, about you know, about God's view about this world and especially America. You know, what's kind of been heavy on my heart was to really press on and pray and ask the Lord to prepare us to be prepared for his wrath and to become a vessel of honor and use to flow his judgments and his you know, his holy hatred against all the enemies of the living God, because God is just and he will not be mocked. And so, you know, I believe that we need to press on and ask the Lord, ask the Father to give us his heart, give us his holy hatred against all his enemies. And because I believe there's going to be a day of absolute, complete annihilation, you know. And it's going to be out of a purity of God's holy wrath and judgment. And so just by looking at this country alone, you know, all the unrighteousness, you know, all the rebellion and stuff like that that's been going on, and it's been kind of, you know, I've been kind of saying to myself, is it, man, you know, with all these things going on, there's got to be some hell that God has prepared for this kind of generation. And so, you know, I think it's really time to press on it more than ever before. So anyway, God bless you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen, Joey. That's right on. That's very good. I don't talk about God's judgment too much, but I remember I did a couple messages on when Babylon falls, will we be crying with the ungodly and have most of the Christians and crying and wringing our hands that Babylon's falling, millions of people are dying, or we'll be on the Lord's side saying, holy and holy, righteous and true your judgments. Hallelujah. I think most Christians will be on the wrong side when that day comes, especially if they're American Christians and when judgment comes to America. I don't know why God hasn't judged America physically yet. My guess is that the couple of Nicolai has not yet come to completion. And I don't know if turn on Israel will be the thing that brings to completion. I think it will be, but I'm not prophesying it will be. But I think turn on Israel will be the thing that brings that cup of iniquity to completion. That's my view. I may be wrong. If I am wrong, I apologize. I'm not really prophesying that, but that's just kind of my opinion. And he's going to judge it. And when he judges it, people are going to die. There's going to be blood in the streets. People you know are going to die. Probably Christians are going to die, because most Christians aren't living in the secret place of the Most High. They're carnal. They're fleshy. They're involved with demons. And they're going to be under the same kind of judgment. God's not going to protect them. Whether they go to hell or heaven in the end, that's God's business. But during this judgment, they're not going to be protected. So horrible things are coming. I don't know when, but they are coming. And when they come, we've got to make sure we're on the right side. Before we go, I'm going to sing that song quick for you, Joey.
I'm a son of God. His love for me is love divine. I'm a son by the grace of God. And everything the Father has is mine. My faults and my failures to me are so clear that it's hard to believe he loves me so. But he isn't looking for my weaknesses and fears. It's the gold in my life he can see. I'm a son of God. His love for me is love divine. I'm a son by the grace of God. And everything the Father has is mine. No more will I trust in my weak hold on thee. In my own strength I know I'll always sin. But the strength of your Son abiding in me will keep me abiding in him. I'm a son of God. His love for me divine. I'm a son, by the grace of God, and everything the Father has is mine. I'm a son, I'm a son of God. His love for me is love divine. I'm a son, by the grace of God, and everything the Father has is mine.
Amen. Okay, there you go, Joey. Anybody else before we shut her down tonight have anything to say? Thanks, Stanfest. Wait a minute. Looks like we got Lisa. Did Lisa got her hand up?
Hi, this is Lisa. Can you hear me? Oh, I was so excited I was using my mic. I didn't see all the number ones. Thanks, everyone. I just want to thank you for all the words you've given over the last months. They've all blessed me so much. Thank you tonight, Dan, for the words that you gave, and Sister Annabelle. And I'm so thankful that we're all back on, and I have this fellowship room. And now that I know how to use my mic, by faith, I'll be on next week and maybe be able to share some of the things the Lord has put in my heart. God bless you all.
Good for you. Good job. You got pressing in and finally waiting. That's an overcomer. That's the spirit of the overcomer. Keep pressing in. Don't give up. All right. Well, we're looking forward to it next week here, Lisa. Good. Anybody else before we shut her down? Okay. Well, again, thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for sharing. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.